Well, greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. What is going on, humans and beans? It is Thursday, actually, May 21st, 2026, and some of you may have seen the post on the Blue Sky for Wandering One Studios that, I had to take yesterday off. I didn't have to. But I was recording a very special, and I hope will be very fun episode for you guys to listen to. Thought-provoking. Maybe it'll spark some new emails. That would be great. A bonus episode of the Wandering One podcast is coming your way this weekend over on Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. So going over to follow, it will be made free for everyone. So you don't have to be a paid subscriber to hear this one. excuse me. I was joined by my lovely friend, Nighty Neopagan, and we had a great conversation, which lasted into the wee hours of the morning, which was fine, until I had to get up and do shit the next day. And I was like, oh, the combination of staying up super late and drinking with the homie was, even if it is online only, was a lot. And I was just planted the very next day. So I was like, all right, you know what? We're not doing that again anytime soon, but great episode. Lots of fun, interest. Well, I say fun because it's fun for me to have those kinds of discussions. But it is definitely a thought-provoking, and sometimes it might be a little bit upsetting or a contentious issue for people to listen to, but there's a lot that we went over that night, and it's a pretty lengthy episode, so you have plenty of time to listen to it. Hopefully when you get a chance to listen to it. Goodness. You ever have that when you like you clear your throat, you think you're good, and then as soon as you start talking, it's like, I don't know, it's like somebody threw sand or something into your throat, or mud into your throat. Anyway, that's what's happening right there. Great episode. Keep your eyes out for that. That'll be coming up on Saturday or Sunday, this coming Saturday or Sunday, and you will be able to go and listen to that for free. So just go follow the Patreon at patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. It's free to follow. And you can send an email there if you hear the podcast. You got something you want to talk about as far as like the podcast is concerned. If you want to ask me another question, maybe you want some advice on a scenario or something like that, you can just pop on over there. Just like regular correspondence that you would do with any other show. You know the deal. And also thank you very much to Nerdy Neopagan for that. Please check them out on Twitch at twitch.tv/NerdyNeopagan for more Twitch goodness. Cozy chill streams, just really great vibes, and I think you'll like them a lot. What you don't like is the news. Boy, there's every week, man, is like there's news and stuff like that that's going on. It's just like, what in the actual shit is happening right now? Speedrun it, right? Dude, we as a country are not serious. There's no way. I don't know why we can be equal parts historical and political powerhouse and international superpower and Looney Tunes cartoon any given day of the week, and usually on the same day. I don't know. Like, let's just do the obvious stuff. One, we've already talked about the gerrymandering that a lot of states are doing to try to break up these break up these districts in various red states, so to speak. The funny thing about it is it's not really working out great for them. I think the idea was if we split up these Democratic districts, then we have an opportunity to kind of flex our power a little bit more by thinning their ability to elect their own representatives. But what happened was sometimes they've drawn these maps so stupidly that they've ended up thinning out their own Republican majorities in these places. And while they will have some majority, but they split up, you know, other blue/purple voters, you know, people who are Democratic or independent or maybe Libertarian or something like that, or Green Party. And you split those people into those districts, too, to further dilute your Republican pool. Now you've got contenders where you once would have had an easy sweep. But again, you know, they're not hired and they're not picked and they're not elected for their intelligence. They're elected for their fealty to the Führer Donald Trump. So, you know, I ultimately this kind of wickedness ends up biting itself in the ass. And what'll probably end up happening is that, you know, oh, goodness, excuse me. Yeah, it was, like I said, been a rough couple of days. But yeah, you'll see this kind of swinging around on them. Now, it'll bite them in the ass eventually because they won't have anywhere to run because they have cut off all their outs. They cut off all their egresses from this so they could get away from it clean, right? Because you've allied yourself so tightly with Trump, these senators and, you know, representatives and whatnot, that they stopped having their own individuality, so they don't matter outside of the conversation of how loyal are they to Donald Trump and to the MAGA party. It's not going to be great for them. It's not going to be great. They're already getting slammed around a lot. And, of course, they're going to, you know, fight back, and they're going to, you know, make their wildly illegal and unprecedented legal cases. But you just saw the thing with the Trump family. Their whole thing was they're supposed to not be indicted or investigated or prosecuted for any audits that might happen from the IRS. They're like, well, that's only anything that's currently going on. The DOJ is like, we just put that against like what's happening right now. So that's what that is. I mean, it's not that they couldn't be investigated in the future, but anything that's happening right now needs to stop. Word? So they're basically going to be immune, because all they have to do, since they've done this once, is just pull this same stunt again. Oh, now you can't investigate me for whatever's happening this week. The fuck out of here. I don't understand how rich people get so mollycoddled. Their life ends up becoming so much easier because they're rich. Like, you have $1 million in the bank, they give you more money because they use your money to invest. So you get more interest. If anything, people who have, like, you know, $10 in the bank should get, like, a significantly higher interest rate than somebody who's got $10 million in the bank. You know? If you're using my 10 bucks to gamble with, yeah, I should get at least a fucking 10% interest rate on that shit. That seems fair. And it should go up to like accounts that are up to $500,000. You know what I mean? Just like the FDIC wouldn't insure it for more than that. If you met less than $500,000 in the bank, you got a 10% interest that comes back to you. You know what I mean? When it's compounded, that's what you get back. Because your money helped make our money, you know? Like, they don't get nearly that much off of the giant, big-ass accounts, right? They get way more off of everybody else's little pennies and nickels and dimes. Because there's so many more people who have so much less money that they can take that money and use it and then invest it and then grow it. It's a racket. Anyway, I was thinking about that because I thought about Jeff Bezos. I think Jeff Bezos and, like, this Kevin O'Leary dude, that one dude from Shark Tank, right? Just the tone-deaf way in which they approach poverty and issues of, like, you know, wage equality and whatnot, they should have to pay extra taxes, you know? Like, I think somebody had a quote, I'm trying to remember exactly how it went, but it was like, I don't want to see the billionaires taxed an exorbitant amount just because they can help society. I want to see it because it makes them sad. Like, losing money makes them sad. That's the only thing that seems to have them show any emotion. And then one of the other person was like, I want to see Elon Musk get, like, hilariously overtaxed to the point where he's in weepy, choking sobs. I'm like, yo, oh my God. I think I actually posted it in our Discord for the squad. Where was it? Oh yeah. I think billionaires should pay throttlingly burdensome taxes. Not to improve society, but because it makes them sad. Absolutely. And then the response was absolutely supporting taxes so high Elon Musk is reduced to weepy little hiccups. Just that imagery, weepy little hiccups, is crazy work. That's crazy work. I love it though, but it's because it's honest. It's true. You know what I mean? Like Trump, and that Musk went on some interview show. I want to say it was ABC, some ABC like news magazine, and was just like, "Yeah, you can increase the taxes on me, but it won't do as much as if you give people who make so much less a tax break. Like instead of taxing me more, just tax them less." And it's like, that's not how this works. He was like, it won't change anything. I'm like, I'm willing to try. I'm willing to see what happens if you are taxed on every dollar you make over 1 billion. I want to see that happen and see if society doesn't turn around almost instantaneously. Because it's not impossible that it could be done. And you want to do all this ridiculous shit, like Elon Musk wants to use SpaceX to build a data center on the moon. You know what I mean? They just want to fly out there and just start. I mean, not like we haven't ruined this planet enough already. Let's go to the moon and dump some shit up there. Now, strictly technically speaking, it makes sense because the data center would actually stay cool. It would be able to use solar power more efficiently and effectively. I don't know if the oh goodness, geez. I told you guys I've been beat up. Slept like crap last night. But yeah, I don't know what the transmission rates would be from a moon base with your data center and stuff like that. But I would imagine that not destroying planet Earth would be worth, having a little solar reflection on the moon. Just a guess, just a hunch. But, like I said, I don't think we need this in the first place. Data centers, we've already seen the evidence of how they absolutely destroy the environment in which they're located, and ruin the local economy as well as, the communities themselves. So we don't need it that much. We don't need it that bad. But the rich just keep on keeping on, I guess. If it's not like a weird data center in your backyard, they want to put one on the moon. If they don't have the NTSB mandating that, your cars be able to spy on you. Which is the real thing we talked about a couple weeks ago, where Ford Motor Company, God bless them, right? Pioneered a deal to put cameras and stuff inside of your vehicle so that if you seem like you might be impaired, it'll just shut the vehicle off or won't allow you to start it in the first place. So super cool about that. Then they can just turn your shit on and off. But if they can't do that, then they've got these flock cameras that are everywhere, and the flock cameras are actually pulling to a non-secure, not was it non-secured? It was a privatized server, and it was supposedly being meant to be used for law enforcement. But like now, they're like, well, this data is just getting pulled, and whoever owns these flock cameras can just use that for whatever purposes they want, and they have the licensing for it, so they could sell it as they want to. And your state and local governments are like, we're putting these up to check out for speeders. They're like, sure, that's what it was. Speeders. We were concerned about people speeding. Hoo-hoo-hoo, we swear. It's hard to like be optimistic when you're just like you look at stuff and you're like, there's no way that this is good for us, right? Like, and I can't be the only one seeing it. Like, other people have noticed that this is just crazy shit, and there's no purpose behind it except for just the sake of being mean or being, just greedy and hateful. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I don't like what I'm seeing. It's really kind of creepy. I mean, but there are some things that, I mean, when there's like a little bit of bad, there's a little bit of good in everything, right? Oh God, what was it? Oh yeah, it was people are excited that Mitch McConnell basically lost his bid for the GOP, the GOP's senator from Kentucky. But the problem is, you got like, and that's good because Mitch McConnell is a monster. He's like a T-100, just wearing a skin suit, but he's really a robot inside. But now you've got this dude, Andy Barr, who's a Trump loyalist. And these are the worst kind of people to have in power. We're all familiar with this concept, right? Just somebody who's ultra, uber loyal and would do anything just to stay in power is dangerous. Sycophancy is a disease. And it infects everybody who's close to it. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's not Mitch McConnell, but at the same time, we can only hope that this guy's so dumb. You know what I mean? And inept, as most of these people are. He's so dumb and so inept that he eventually shoots himself in the own foot and just ruins his own career. I mean, it's likely to happen. I don't know. It's as likely to happen as not. Let's put it that way. Who knows right now? Oh, speaking of shooting yourself, do you remember that? Did anybody see that story about this dude that calls himself Chud the Builder? He's one of those rage-baiting kind of dickheads who runs around with the camera saying intentionally mean and hateful stuff to people, usually people of color, and then tries to incite them to fighting him or whatever, and then he pulls out a gun on him. We tried that recently with some other guy, and the guy wasn't having it. Went after him. He thought, oh, I thought usually the gun would scare him off. The dude's like, nope. He ends up shooting this man, and then in the, you know, the scramble that ensues, he shoots himself. He's pled like not guilty to, you know, like attempted murder or whatever. But yeah, all of the signs point to just the opposite. Like, this dude's going to be doing quite a few years in jail if he, you know, is even prosecuted fully. You know what I mean? Who knows? There's so many people who get like arrested for stuff and then, you know, depending on which, you know, municipality they're in, where their judge is, you know, where the court is, where the judge's, you know, mind is at that day, they may or may not actually get prosecuted. They might throw the whole case out entirely, right? But, I mean, I'm glad to see that he got arrested at the very least, and it's being taken somewhat seriously, it would appear. There's two more things that I want to see taken as seriously. One of them to be thrown out is a lady named Jennifer Combs, I think it is, from Trinidad, Texas, was arrested because she was posting on Facebook about the city's polluted drinking water. Like, literally, there's video of this lady, look it up, Jennifer Combs, Trinidad, Texas, posting video of the water coming out of their I think it's her bathroom or something like that, like the bathroom faucet and the kitchen faucet, and the water is like almost tea brown. Like, it's so, it looked like the water from Flint, you know what I mean? It was just like dirt and soil and whatever fuck else in there. And she was saying that people were getting sick and they charged her with, like, you know, basically like making false reports or whatever. And they arrested this woman for telling the truth about, hey, our water's brown. And they arrested her for telling the truth. Imagine how bad it would be if you were just making a joke. I hope that the judge in that case goes like, why are we even here? The water is brown, dickhead. Like, why are you? Get this out of my court. And whoever brought this suit, bring them in here. I'm putting them in jail. You know, whoever brought this before a judge needs to go straight to prison and live underneath it. And the cops, whoever arrested her, if they're like, hey, you have to arrest her. If I was one of the cops, I'm not touching her. You figure it out. I mean, I've seen the water. She's not wrong. So fuck you. The same thing with the 81-year-old grandmother. She's a Twitch streamer. I know we have this story in the Discord because I was reading it and I was like, I cannot believe this is the planet that we live on. And these are the people I have to share fucking oxygen with. I want to say it was in our news thread. Yeah. So the lady, I mean, can you imagine your 81-year-old grandmother? Grandma Crackers is what her name is. She streams a lot, looks like through YouTube and whatnot. She's been playing Minecraft and like using the money that she raises to help pay for her grandson's cancer treatment. And so she will leave the stream on so it stays active and running so people can make like donations or whatever, contributions. And then she'll go take a nap or whatever. I think the way I said, she went to sleep And then SWAT officers crash through our house with, flashlights and rifles. 20 police cars, 5 SWAT cars with multiple SWAT officers, and drones went to her house. She's like, I guess she says, this is one of her posts. I want to read this. She's like, I was asleep. I did not want to get up. And these policemen came in the door. They locked me out. I didn't know what was going on, but it was kind of fun. My kid and my grandkid were hugging me. I don't get that kind of attention normally. Then I got to, not I had to, not I was made to. I got to ride in a police car before. I've never ridden in a police car before. Then it was all over, so I thought, well, I've got to go to bed. So I took an ibuprofen and went to bed. That's what a fucking attitude to have. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. Since she also streams Fortnite, Rocket League, and Roblox, said there was something upbeat about the whole situation, saying the police officers were so nice to me. I love them. Shout out to them. They were wonderful. She added the only thing that was going through her head as she was being taken outside of her house was, I'm walking outside with bare feet and it's not hurting. But I mean, what a fucking mensch of a human being to like take that on the chin and to like, be cool about it. I'm gonna make sure we get her the GoFundMe that's there for her son, her grandson. I'm gonna make sure we get that into the link dump so you can check that out in the description. But yeah, what a great attitude to have for something so incredibly shitty. And during like a live stream, she's not doing this, she's not doing this just for the clicks and just for the attention, you know what I mean? She's not like some kind of fashion influencer or anything like that. She's like, I'm doing this to help raise money for my grandson. Like, what a sweet and kind motivation. And there's some dickhead out there who sent in a fake attack, a fake threat or whatever at to her house so that SWAT would show up and interrupt the thing. If anything, what they've done probably has backfired even worse because now she's gonna get even more famous. So if they were just mad because of the fame and the attention she was getting, it just backfired on you completely, dumbass. Because now she's gonna be hotter than before. Yeah, I don't know. The world's bananas, and I sincerely hope they find out who called in the threat and they again string them up. Like, we gotta stop letting people get away with shit and going like, oh, it sucks. They were just kids being stupid. No. People have actually been shot and killed because of these swatting attacks, right? So, no, it's not cute. No, it's not funny. I mean, it's funny that she has such a good sense of humor about it, like, but that could have been really dangerous. Like, she could have been hurt. Even if she wasn't shot or killed or anything, just grabbing somebody who's 81 out of their sleep. Like, thank God they had the sense to like look in there and be like, this is some little old lady's house, rather than just like running their guns blazing. You never know though. That I mean, that could change at any given moment. You never know what police are capable of when they decide to give up on one, you know? And I mean, I'm sure just like any other profession, there's plenty of good cops, there's plenty of mediocre cops, usually probably more in the middle of the road than anything else. And there's definitely a handful of assholes out there. But the unfortunate thing is like there's enough of the assholes, enough people know about them and don't do anything about them, that everybody gets painted with the same brush. And I would to that, I mean, I'm just gonna kind of veer off a little bit for that one and say, just to you law enforcement officers out there, if you're one of the quote unquote good ones, do better. Root out the corruption and the shitty people and the bigots and the guys who are just there to like swing a badge and a gun around. Do your best and do more to get them out. Not even your best. Do more. I will just take you doing more to get rid of them because they make everybody else look bad and they ruin the interactions between the community and police. So do better and do more. Yeah, they should send these people who are swatting to go and get Castro. That's what they did, actually. They went and this is how stupid our fucking government is. They went after Raul Castro. For those of you who don't know, he's the brother of Fidel Castro, and he's 94 fucking years old. 94 years old, right? This guy's the threat. So, And he's not even actively in the political sphere anymore, but they still went after him. He's a former president. He's got a U.S. indictment for murder and other crimes, right? And they just go and pick him up this past week. It's like, for what? For what? The dude's 94 fucking years old. This thing happened like decades ago. 30 years ago, this attack that they're complaining about happened. You didn't get him 30 years ago. You didn't get him like 25 years ago, even. Tough. Let him go. Like, dude, let the ravages of time and gravity take him out. This is all just a smoke and mirror show. And it's so sad that they're going after somebody who's like literally almost a centenarian. And they're like, oh, this one, we did something today. You arrested a fucking little old man. Cool. What a bunch of nerds, dude. Like, they're not even nerds. They're just a bunch of dorks. They're so weak and pathetic. It's hilarious, like, how much the astounding lengths to which they'll go to try to pretend that they're doing a good thing. We did good today, guys. Yeah, go us. America. Fuck yeah. God, I like this other dickhead. You guys are gonna love this one. This is actually a story that's a lot older than one would have thought. You would have thought something like this would have come out real quick. So, you guys remember like about a couple months ago, Trump sent troops into Venezuela to arrest Nicolas Maduro, right? They pulled the dude out of his bed in the middle of the night. Him and his wife, they snapped him up, and then they brought him to America. They're gonna make him stand trial for his evil doing. Nicolas Maduro was probably like, "Are you fucking serious, bro? I was supposed to have lunch with you next week, and now because you got in trouble because of this Epstein shit, you come and yoink me out of bed." Anyway, that's all just me, not even speculating, just making up a scenario. But apparently, one of the soldiers that was in that operation, right, made some bets on some gambling sites. Don't get it twisted; they're not predictive. They're not like prediction markets. It's gambling. It's gambling. Just some predictive sites is what they're saying. And he made like over $400,000. Now, that's not an insignificant amount of money. It is a, as Josh Johnson pointed out, if you haven't seen it, you should check it out, a hilariously stupid amount of money. Because if you're going to gamble on whether or not an operation that you're going to be a part of is going to either happen or be successful to some degree, he makes a good point. Like, I would take out like, a $100,000 loan and bet everything I had, like basically put it all on black. And then once I came back, I would walk away with several $1 million and be like, and you will never see me again. You know what I mean? He was a special forces soldier. They were operating with a unit out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So he very easily, one, could have set up the accounts to pay him out after the whole shit went down. And then two, just left. You're already out of the country. You know what I mean? You're in the middle of a chaotic operation. The shit goes off without a hitch. You're like, great, we got Nicolas Maduro. And then you just fade into the night. You know what I mean? Like, they got him in the wee hours of the morning. It was dark as fuck. He could have just like been like, and ninja vanish, and just walked down an alleyway, dropped all of his kit, had on like a Hawaiian shirt and some cargo shorts and some sandals, and just walked into oblivion. Like, look, I got enough money in my pocket. I can last for about like a week or two here in Venezuela. Then I'll go and clean my accounts out and I'm gone. Nobody will ever know who I am. Go to another country, change my name. Maybe I'll get some plastic surgery. I will live the rest of my days out knowing I scammed the system. But instead, this dumbass went back home. Then he got arrested. He's like, I'm not guilty. Bitch, we got you on tape. It's so fucking stupid, man. Like, I'm telling you, man, these scamsters and stuff like that, especially when they see how Trump does it, one, they don't realize that Trump isn't doing this shit by himself. He's got teams of people that work with him. I'm positive. He cannot be that smart. He's got teams of people that work around the clock to help him figure out ways to do his dirt and to cover up and keep from getting like arrested or any shit like that. That's how he's managed to stay out. He's a Teflon Don for a reason. He's managed to stay out of it because he's got money to throw at people who are smarter than him to keep him out of jail. Or at least dumb enough to do the shit that he wants them to do so that they take the fall for him without realizing it. You know? This whole thing was just, this whole, I mean, the Venezuela thing with Maduro and this special forces soldier just like trying to make money off of the gambling. Because that's what it is. It's not prediction trading. It's just gambling. I'm going to keep saying that until I'm blue in the face. And then this Castro thing. Like, he could have probably just, at this point, Trump is so out of his gourd. You probably could have kidnapped anybody named Castro. You probably could have kidnapped, I don't know, pick a famous Castro. Maybe Angelina Castro. I've heard somebody mention her before. I think she's a singer or an actress or something like that. I'd never really checked her out. Matter of fact, let's check that out before I say any more. Because I'll send y'all on a wild goose chase. You'll be like, who the fuck is that? I'm like, I don't know. Angelina. Oh, okay, never mind. Don't look up Angelina Castro. Somebody mentioned her on a podcast. I thought they were like, she's an actress. I'm like, oh, is she? She's an actress. All right. Yeah, she is a mattress actress. Yeah, don't look that one up. But anyway, if you could have got her, and you'd be like, oh, we got a Castro. All right, that's great. Good job, everybody. Hamburgers in the White House lawn. Wait a minute. The White House parking lot. We paved over the lawn. No more Rose Garden. It's fine. They're so stupid. I love the fact that, like, the whole thing with the Trump in his little too tiny chair is getting a lot of traction. If you haven't seen it already, after Trump's stupid visit to China, where Xi Jinping actually, like, put him in this chair that looked like, made him look like he was sitting having tea with his, you know, with somebody, it's like with his daughter when they were little. It's sitting there. Only thing he was missing was like a little tiara and tiny little teacups. It would have been hilarious. But not only was there that, they showed like the approach of these two different leaders that have shown up in China just over the last 2 weeks. One was Donald Trump. The other one was Vladimir Putin. And when Trump showed up, they had some Secret Service agent with his, you know, basically looked like bedhead, open the door for Trump to get out of a limousine. And then they like kind of like wandered around, led him up there to meet with Xi Jinping. And they shook hands and they just stood side by side. Well, when Vladimir Putin showed up, they had Chinese, I think it's the Chinese army guard or their parade guard, open the door and basically present him, as it were, to Xi Jinping. And then they shook hands and held hands while they took photographs together. So it looked like, yeah, we really are trying to work things out. They just don't, nobody respects Trump. And it's so sad that his little piggy feelings are getting hurt, but I don't care because it's not sad at all. It's funny as fuck to me. I hope it keeps happening and all the rest of their bullshit falls apart. Like this 1.776 billion dollar bailout basically for J6 insurrectionists, right? We've got over almost $2 billion. It is really stupid that he made it a 1776. You know what I mean? Like, that's how dumb he is. He has to use, like, seriously, like, mnemonic devices, essentially, and, like, famed dates and, you know, the numbers of his presidency to remember shit. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the combination to his, you know, golf safe or whatever, like, if he has, like, a safe at Mar-a-Lago is 45, 47. It wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. But yeah, $1.776 billion to J6 insurrectionists, terrorists, literally seditionists, traitors to the country. We're going to give them our tax money, but we can't get money for, you know, food programs, can't get money for infrastructure, for them build jobs, you know, create jobs. No money for the homeless. Nope, fuck them, right? No reparations for the African American people that have been tortured and destroyed, you know, lives, had their lives destroyed by this country for generations. No reparations back to the Native Americans. You know what I mean? The First Peoples. No reparations to the Latinos. whose land we stole as a country. Maybe you and I didn't do it. Maybe our grandparents didn't even do it. But, like, America stole Mexico from Mexico and then turned it into California, Nevada, Texas, Colorado, all that shit. No reparations for that. No, nothing good could come from this, right? Just, it can only good happen for J6ers. It makes me want to spit. You know what I mean? Like, I can't fucking stand this guy. But I hate the fact that, like, he keeps getting away with this shit. And I don't know what I could do to stop him. Nothing that, I mean, nothing legal. But, I mean, that's the thing. That's why we have elected representatives to do this kind of shit for us. What the fuck are these people doing? Like, grandstanding while Erica Kirk gets her, like, GEDEI doctorate from Hillsdale College?
For public service.
Erica Kirk, really? She hasn't had to give any service since her husband got shot. I said what I said. She's not doing anything. It's not a dig at Charlie Kirk. It's a dig at Erica Kirk. Because she was useless before, she's useless now. Because now she's just become a good talking point and a way to clap back at people. But, I mean, for somebody, like they said, there's a very interesting point. Like, for somebody whose husband was so anti-education, basically, especially college education, that he would go to college campuses and disrupt the entire culture just so he could argue with a bunch of teenage kids. It's really funny that she decided that an honorary degree in nothing from a college that almost no one had ever heard of unless they lived in the fucking city that it's in was going to mean something. And just because Hillsdale College leans really hard into like anti-DEI theology, basically, well, not theology, theories and policies and whatnot. Like, they're like, oh, we're anti-DEI. Let's do the most DEI thing ever. Give this dolt who's running one of the most racist and stupid corporations in America in Turning Point USA an honorary degree in public service. You can get a doctorate. What did she do? What did she do? You know, like, she served more than whom, I like to ask. I want to see what Erica Kirk's service has done for anybody ever. Definitely not nothing. There had to be something, right? Right? It had to be something that was done. So you'd be like, yeah, I mean, there's a thing that happened. I sincerely don't know. I wish I could tell you, but I honestly can't. I don't think she'd even know if you asked her directly. I don't think she'd be able to tell you. So stupid. So dumb. But so very MAGA. Great stuff. Love to see it. One thing I hate to see, honestly, is the thing that happened. You guys might have heard about this right now. I want to see more about this story come out. There's a track meet that happened in North Carolina. And a school named Mallard Creek High. I guess they were going for like their third like state championship kind of thing. And then a judge, one of the line judges, I guess, on the track, disqualified the young runner who was finishing, crossed the finish line and raised his hand up in front of him, not like in the air, just like up to like basically like face height, with his all five fingers extended, right? I don't know if it was to signify he'd won this race that many times or whatever it was, but, you know, he was just raising his hand up and they disqualified him for taunting, an excessive celebration or taunting. I'm like, if you watch the video, you're like, there's nothing about this that you haven't seen a million other teenage athletes do a million other times before. This, whoever this judge was, just had a hair up his ass and didn't want to see them win. I did have one video of it that like I've shared with our Discord. I might pull that link and put it into the link dump as well so you could see it. But quite clearly, this kid's either crossed the finish line, or he's right at the finish line when he does this gesture, and he still gets fucking disqualified for it. Now, the school has actually brought this to the local, like, you know, collegiate board for review, and hopefully they'll overturn it and maybe fire the guy who, you know, pulled this shit in the first place. But I'm not holding out a lot of hope. I want to, but just, I don't know. I still have a lot of faith in some of those institutions and governing boards and stuff like that. I feel like they're always trying to pull one over on us. it's just as a society, you know, they're just trying to find a way to get a fast one out. And it's whatever kind of cruelty they can inflict on other people along the way, that so be it. Good for they're happy to do it. Yeah, it's just I don't know. I really don't know. And the funny thing about it is I tried to find the other video that I saw. One of the coaches actually was recording the meets, you know what I mean? As they usually do. Like usually when there's like a scholastic, you know, athletic thing going on, whether it's high school, college, whatever, they record it so they can look at, you know, where they can make improvements, you know, what the opposition is doing that they can capitalize on, et cetera, et cetera. And guess what happened to be on those films? Other athletes celebrating at different points of the race, that whatever they were doing, whether it's hurdles or whatever, to this track and field meet. One of the funnier things about it is a large majority of these people didn't look like the young gentleman who got disqualified. Do you know what I mean? Do you have any idea? Could you possibly imagine? Yes, they were white children. And I saw the video that he put up. I tried to find it again, but it was lost in the flotsam. There's quite a few of them. There's more than a handful of them who are like overtly celebrating. And then this black kid gets crossed out for it. Okay. All right, I can't wait to see how it all shakes out. And I hope he gets one. I hope they get the championship back because they deserved it. They earned it. And then two, I hope that whoever made that call is fired immediately and barred from working with children in that capacity ever again. And then to all the haters who were talking shit, and like, you followed the rule. The one lady in one of the videos was like this. She's a lady from a rival high school, the mother of a rival high school student. The mother of a student from a rival high school. That's the best way to put it. Because I don't think the students cared. They're just like, this messed up, man. He did a good job. Let him have the win. But almost everybody who was like, you gotta follow the rules, was an adult. How grim is that? And almost every one of them, to a person, were from one of the rival teams, the teams that got beat. Oh, now you care about the rules? We so big on the rules right now, huh? Stupid ass. I hope that lady, I hope she gets like a foot fungus between her toes and she can't reach it to itch it for nothing. I do. I really hate people like that. You know what I mean? She's sour graping a motherfucking kid. I just don't believe it. You know what? Here's the thing. I can believe it. I just don't want to believe it. You know what I mean? Mainly because it's depressing to think about it that way. That people would be so shitty towards teenage kids who are just trying to, you know, show off their athletic prowess, maybe get like some scholarships to school for their, you know, abilities, build something good out of their lives, and then some bitter old bitch is like, well, you should have followed the rules. Then really? You try running it. If you could outrun that kid, you'd want to jump up and down, clap your hands, and stomp your feet. So shut up to me about this. Bastard. That lady really pissed me off. I hated just seeing her fucking smug little face. Like, she actually looked, she had like, kind of like a half, like, got this really, like, half grin almost. Like, well, that's what they get. What's the matter, Brenda? Life kicked your ass a little bit too much. Now you're all mad. It's not a good look, especially not against a teenage boy. Pretty sad. It's pretty pathetic. Anyway, we're coming up to the end of the podcast for this week. Thank you all very much for listening. I appreciate you. I'm very grateful to each and every one of you. And again, like I said, you can always write me over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. You can also catch me on Blue Sky. You can look for W1 studios. That's where you can find me on Blue Sky. And if you send me a message there or on Patreon, Patreon's the best and, you know, most expedient way. I can read your email. Like this one email we got from a lovely listener. I spoke out and I asked a question. What's a phrase that you hadn't heard until recently, but it's not kind of stuck in your lexicon or something like that? Or, you know, you've adopted a phrase that somebody else said a lot, you've heard it, and now you've kind of made it your own, right? And it's just like, you know, stuff that you'd never really said before or never thought of before. And one of them I saw was like, I heard in the last 3 years, let me read this verbatim. A weird phrase I heard recently, last 3 years, was, I bounced on business I should have stood on. The business being a wiener. I think maybe we talked about this briefly before, but my memory is shit. Thank you very much, friend, for that email. That's a good one. I have heard that phrase before, actually. I bounced on business I should have stood on. And the business being a person's business. The business. Yeah, that's a rough visual right there. That's a really rough visual, too. Because, I mean, the standing on of the penis is a... I've been kicked there accidentally and intentionally before. It is not a fun feeling. And just imagine somebody just putting their full weight on it and just standing there. I almost want to throw up right now. But thank you very much for that. Again, like I said, if you've got an email response, comment, question, whatever, send it over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios so I can give it a look and we can answer your questions. And, you know, read your responses on the pod, just like this one. See, it's that easy. Take a couple minutes out of your day. That probably took maybe like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And just like, hey, I'll bang this one out real quick. You've got your phone in your hand while you're on the toilet. You know what I mean? Send me an email. I won't even have to know that you did it. I promise. I won't ask you where you were when you sent it. I won't even ask if you washed your hands. I'll just assume that you did and keep it pushing. Not going to affect me anyway. That's why it's called electronic mail. Anyway, yeah, man, it's just... Yesterday was also the season finale of The Boys. The Amazon Prime series based off of the cult classic comic book franchise of the same name. Wow. What a time to be alive. In a time when art imitates life a little too closely, and I'm not sure which one's informing which, The Boys proved to be, how do I put this? Equal parts social commentary, family drama, comedy series, action-packed, like, gore fest, and somehow never, even in the midst of the fact that it's a very camp-driven show, never really feel campy. Like, everything felt like it was, even like the lighthearted moment still felt like they had some weight behind them. There's a mild sense of severity and like urgency that runs throughout the entire show. And the last season is essentially like the last season is basically like the last, you know, stretch of a roller coaster ride right before you get to the part where they have to slow it down. You know what I mean? And if you've ever been on a roller coaster, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're clipping along and it's just, you know, doing all the loop-de-loops and whatever, and they usually put like one crazy like corkscrew section or something that goes in like a spiral or does like a figure eight, and it's like this one knock your socks off section, and then it's right before the entire thing starts to slow down and come to a halt so you can disembark, and that they throw that in there. And that's what season 5 felt like. The whole ride all the way up to like the last 15 to 20 minutes of this latest and final episode of the show was just an absolute cavalcade of just awesomeness, really. I mean, there's a really good word to use there. It was absolutely ridiculously awesome. And I felt sad that the show is ending because I felt like there could have been more stories to tell in this universe, but it also feels like it's a very appropriate send-off for the show. I don't know that you'd want to do it any differently. And I actually think that I think there's something beautiful about when you love a property so much that you can look at it and be like, man, I really wish there was more, but I know there won't be any. It adds a little something to the show itself, you know? There's a kind of like an extra layer of spice on it because you know this is the last bite of that meal, right? You're like, oh, that's just, I saved the best part for last. And like I said, I'm sad to see the show end, but it had an exceptional run, I think. And I do recommend it. If anybody's ever wanted to see the show or is curious about it, I say go ahead and give it a good old watch. And enjoy the fact that it exists and celebrate the fact that we got to be alive to see it, even in these tumultuous and quite honest scary times. Seeing art that kind of not only mimics life, but also lampoons it a little bit and makes fun of it and pokes holes in the idea of, you know, fascism and authoritarianism taking over. Like, hey, we can make jokes about this shit. And as we do, we can actually overcome. It was absolutely beautiful to see. And then the last thing, which is going to be our feel-good thing. Okay. I know there are people out there who are still kind of, you know, irritated or angry or whatever that Zoran Mamdani, the new mayor of New York, is basically showing y'all up. And by y'all, I mean everybody on both sides, all sides of the political spectrum. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, you know, sit on my butt party, you know, whoever it is. Mamdani is making the shit look good. He's showing you that, like, well, I think the best quote I read was he's showing you that you can accomplish a lot with political power if you're not in it for personal gain. And just the simple fact that he managed to drop a $12 billion deficit within like a matter of months speaks volumes to the kind of person he would be if he had been able to be president. And also speaks volumes to what kinds of people we have who've allowed that kind of political power to go to their heads without actually making any lasting or impactful change for the citizenry. He's really just showing us all how you do it and do it better. And I wish him every success because I genuinely do believe that there's going to be some good stuff to come out of this. This man's time and tenure as the governor. I hope that the power and the political access and whatnot doesn't spoil him or somehow taint him. That he manages to keep himself above reproach and above scandal. He'll never be above, you know, the attacks and the antagonism that he's going to get. That's just not going to happen because it's, you know, there's always going to be that exists, unfortunately, in the world. But I want him to be so universally loved that, like, if anything were to ever come against him in any fashion, people just stomp on it just on general principle. I'm like, hey, man, I might not agree with the guy, you know, his policies. I might not like his religion. I might not even like his face. But I mean, he did a lot of good for this city that I live in, that I love, and helped my friends and my family. So fuck you, don't touch him, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'd love to see that become part of his legacy for the city, for not himself, but also part of this legacy of the city of New York, that they actually were able to bond together over a man who may not necessarily have represented the quote-unquote majority of the population, but he represented everybody because he believed in New York. He didn't believe in any one particular set of policies or ideologies or, you know ethno-purist dogmatic stuff or, you know, any kind of, you know, religious fascism or whatever. Or no, it's like, I believe we're all New Yorkers. I believe we work together. We can make this city beautiful. And it will actually look like, feel like, and be the world-class city that we always say that it is. So let's get to work and let's get to making it happen. And then he did it. Like, he actually went out and did it. You see what I mean? Like, that's true leadership. And it is, in the, like I said, these very crazy and tempestuous times, it's actually quite refreshing to see somebody who's involved in politics to just do good stuff. And I sincerely hope, again, everybody's got their own little dark corners and their own secrets, and maybe there's a political agenda behind this that I'm not able to see at this moment. I don't know. It's quite possible that we could all be being hoodwinked. That's just the nature of human existence. But I'm really, 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 really hoping that this story stays as clean and pure as possible for shit, the rest of our lives, all of us. And that it, again, it is because he's shining so brightly, it has to do nothing more than illuminate the darkest corners of our political landscape and be an example and hold everyone to account. no matter where you stand on the political spectrum, to be like, hey, if you can't do it like this, you're doing it wrong. Because this guy doesn't care who voted for him, what they look like, what they worship like, who they fuck. All he wants to do is make life better for other human beings. Period. Comma. Done. He's like, that's all I want, is to make this city better. And I think that that's a lesson that we can all take a little bit of pride in, a little bit of hope from. Maybe you can't change the world. Maybe you can't change your town. Maybe you can't even change your neighborhood. Maybe you can just change you. The you that interacts with the people that you love and care about on a daily basis. Maybe you can change the way you speak to yourself, the way you perceive yourself. Move with a little bit more kindness and agency. Move with a little bit more intentionality and belief that you can do and be better. Y'all got to start somewhere. And if we start at home, take it with you everywhere you go. That's been a Wandering One podcast. You guys have been delightful as always. Thank you so much. I can hear you cheering and applauding from here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are far too kind. Thank you so much for our email friend from the Patreon. Please go to visit the Patreon as our friend here did. And drop an email and let me know what you think about the pod. If you got comments, questions, like I said, hit us up there. And then keep your eyes open for the Patreon. If you follow for free, you can hear the new bonus episode that's coming this weekend with myself and the wonderful Nerdy Neo-Pagan. So thank you all very much. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Be careful out there. There's a lot of crazy weather. Do what you have to do to be safe, to make sure you and your family are taken care of and out of harm's way. And yeah, I'll catch up with you guys again soon, a little further on down the road. Peace.